Thank you, Mr. Fiok. Good morning, everyone. Well, brethren, I think most of us are probably familiar with the old comic strip Blondie and her husband Dagwood. You know, Dagwood was notorious for doing things that would make us chuckle a little bit. He was a prolific napper, always be snuggled down on the couch when he should have been cleaning the garage or mowing the grass. Or what about those sandwiches Dagwood used to make that would be a foot high with just all sorts of things in them? But I think the one that always took the cake was when Dagwood was leaving for work. You see, Dagwood often rode in a carpool with some of his coworkers. And despite Dagwood's best efforts, time after time, his carpool, his coworkers would be waiting in the car at the end of the sidewalk, waiting for him, and no sign of Dagwood. He would be upstairs, still sleeping in bed, or maybe he'd be in the bathroom, all lathered up with shave cream, and be shaving. Or maybe he'd be hurrying through the kitchen, gulping his coffee, or hurrying through breakfast. But the point was, he wasn't coming out the door to join his coworkers yet. No. They were all sitting in the car, more or less patiently, probably honking the horn and thinking, Dagwood, where are you? Well, you know, that was kind of humorous. We used to snicker at it a little bit. But it wasn't really very funny for Dagwood's coworkers as they were waiting for him. Sometimes we all find ourselves in Dagwood's position. We're just running late, and someone else has to wait on us. It's not really a very comfortable position. But have you ever considered, brethren, sometimes we could find ourselves in this position spiritually? Instead of Dagwood racing down the sidewalk to catch his carpool while all his coworkers are waiting in the car, it could be us. It could be you. It could be me, dashing towards the car, and the driver seated behind the wheel in that car waiting for us would be none other than Almighty God. Today, we'll take a closer look at this situation and we'll try to answer the question, is God waiting on me? Let's begin in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3. 2 Peter, chapter 3. And we're going to begin with verses 3 and 4. Breaking into the thought here, the Apostle Peter writes, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. You see that in the world around us today. This world expects that things will just continue as they always have. Oh, things heat up in the world and get violent, and then they cool off again. The stock market jumps up, and then it falls back down. It's always been that way in the world, just ups and downs, but it just keeps going on and on and on. Always has, always will. That's the attitude we often encounter from others in the world. But brethren, we in God's church don't ever want to fall into this trap. We want to keep our minds set on what we know to be sure and certain to come. And that's the return of Jesus Christ. Skipping ahead now, verses 8 and 9. Beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here Peter tells us plainly, God is not slack. He's not forgetful or sloppy or haphazard about His promise. Now that promise, we just read a moment ago back in verse 4, that promise is the promise of Jesus Christ's coming. He told His disciples, I will return. I will come back to this earth. They knew that, and we know that. But as far as that promise, God isn't slack. He's not haphazard. He hasn't forgotten about sending Jesus Christ back to this earth. We're told here, God is long-suffering. Now, I confess, brethren, I often just in my mind make a quick translation and say, long-suffering, that means patient. Well, it's more than that. According to the Random House College Dictionary, the definition is long and patient endurance of provocation, injury, or suffering. That's what God is doing. He's waiting through all of this. But why? Why is it that God is willing to do that? Well, we were just told here in verse 9, God desires for all to come to repentance. Continuing, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Did you catch that? The day of the Lord will come, no question about it, but it will be a surprise to most of the world. It will come as a thief in the night. And Jesus Christ plainly had stated that Himself. Continuing, verses 11 and 12. Therefore, or in other words, because of these things that Peter is telling us, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Peter says here, therefore, because of these things, what manner of persons ought we be? How should we be leading our lives? Because we know these things are coming. And then he gives us a list. He gives us a list here. He says, the way that we should be living our lives should be with holy conduct, with godliness, and looking for or hastening the day of the Lord. I like the way the Revised Standard Version translates that phrase, looking for or hastening, awaiting with earnest desire. Continuing in verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, there's that reference to God's promise again, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. We've just observed the fall festivals, and we've been reminded of God's plan to send Jesus Christ back to this earth and to establish new government here, godly government, and ultimately to create new heavens and a new earth. Brethren, that should be fresh in all our minds. Verse 14, again, Peter says, therefore, or because of these things, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Peter gives us another list here. He says we need to be diligently living our lives so that when Christ returns, He's going to find us, how? In peace. We should not be all concerned and worried about the conditions of things in the world here. Christ said He would give us peace, true peace. Secondly, we should be living our lives without spot. And thirdly, blameless. Without spot and blameless. That sounds very much like living God's way. finally now, in verse 15, we're coming to the punchline here, brethren. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you. He says, account or consider God's long suffering is our salvation. Now notice as well, Peter references Paul's writing. Hold your place here, maybe put a marker in your Bible because we're going to return to conclude. But let's turn back to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. And let's see what exactly Paul was writing about this subject. In Romans 2, chapter 4, Paul says, "Do you despise the riches of His goodness," that's God's goodness, "forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" Now, Paul basically asks a rhetorical question to us here. He says, do you despise the riches of God's goodness? Well, the answer is no. We should not despise those things. These are good things. These are wonderful things. We should treasure these wonderful attributes about God's character. And he enumerates them. In this sermonette, we're seeing all of these lists that Peter and Paul are giving us. And here, Paul enumerates some of these wonderful attributes of God. He lists first his goodness. Brethren, that needs no explanation. As you might simply say, you can't get any gooder than God. His goodness is the best. It's extreme. Secondly, it lists his forbearance. Again, the Random House Dictionary translates that or defines that as patient self-control while subjected to annoyance or provocation. That's God's forbearance. Do you think you've ever annoyed God? I'm sure I have, far too often. Finally, it lists his long suffering. There's that word again that we saw before. This is a description of God's patient forbearance and long suffering in dealing with his people. These wonderful, good attributes of God are all intended to lead us to repentance. This is the same thing we just read moments ago from the Apostle Peter, talking about making sure that no one would perish. God is indeed very good to all of us. He truly is patient. He's long-suffering. He is forbearing. And he allows us time to grow and build godly character. To remove those spots and stains so that when Jesus Christ returns, he may truly find us blameless in his righteousness. Let's turn back to 2 Peter again, chapter 3, and let's conclude in verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Peter concludes by saying, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." Peter concludes this subject with the admonition for all of us to grow in grace and knowledge. Growth truly does take time. And we should be using this precious time that God has patiently, forbearingly allowed us to do so. So let's conclude by answering the question we posed at the beginning of this sermonette. Is God waiting on me? Is he sitting behind the wheel of that car at the curb, quietly tooting the horn, looking at his watch, and gently encouraging me, saying, "Come on, Scott, come on, it's time to overcome, it's time to grow, it's time to be building good character, Scott, come on." Could that be the case? And finally, I can imagine God saying, remember, Scott, you don't want to miss your ride here. You don't want to miss the bus. Do you? Well, I'll tell you, brethren, I sure don't. What about all of you?